Turn in your Bibles to Ephesians chapter 4, please. Ephesians chapter 4. Last week, we looked at this same text, but I purposely did not dive all the way through it because the Lord was continuing to work in my heart concerning some of the things that are included in this text. We're looking specifically at verses 17 through 24. And many of us are probably familiar with this passage, and we know it commonly as the put off, put on principle. You will hear that in Christian dialogue from time to time, especially if you're reading books on counseling and that kind of thing. This is a passage that is used commonly to help people deal with and handle sin in their lives. And last week we talked about the need for radical cleaning. We looked at the life of Josiah, and as God revealed the book of the law to him, he went about getting rid of all signs of idolatry in the nation of Judah. Today we're going to look at verses 17 through 24, and we're going to examine specifically the believer's proper attire for this walk of life. Indeed, I think we have come to the grips with this truth. God has called us to be the body of Christ. That's who we are to be as His children, as believers in Jesus Christ. We are called to be His body. And so, therefore, we are given instructions on what that looks like and how to do that. Boy, am I grateful that God gives us those kinds of insights. So now look with me. We're going to look verses 17 through 24. We're going to see what the old man is like. Then we're going to look at the specific action that needs to take place. Verse 17, Ephesians chapter 4, it says, "This I say therefore and testify in the Lord that you henceforth walk not as other Gentiles walk, in the vanity of their mind, having the understanding darkened, and being alienated from the life of God through the ignorance that is in them because of the blindness of their heart, who being past feeling have given themselves over into lasciviousness to work all uncleanness with greediness. But you have not so learned Christ, if so be that you have heard him and have been taught by him, as the truth is in Jesus, that you put off concerning the former conversation the old man, which is corrupt according to the deceitful lusts, and be renewed in the spirit of your mind, and that you put on the new man, which after God is created in righteousness and true holiness." Now, as we look at this, I would like us to understand these specific truths at the beginning here. We are in school, and our teacher is Jesus Christ. Whether you like it or not, you are a student of the Lord Jesus Christ. But you have not so learned Christ, it says. We also need to understand this fact. When we are saved, when we are regenerated, when the Spirit of God comes into our lives and makes us new, and we believe by faith in the Lord Jesus Christ, when that happens, we are made new creatures. 2 Corinthians 5:17. But even as new creatures in Christ, we still sin. If you say you don't have any sin, 1 John says, you are a liar and the truth is not in you. We still sin, but we have been made new. What does that mean? We have been made new means we have been given the capacity now to please God and not just automatically go after sin. Praise the Lord, that's an option for us. And so, with that in mind, the Apostle Paul brings us this text, and he also speaks of these kinds of things in the book of Galatians, the book of Colossians, where he will give lists of sins that are not to be a part of a believer. And then he says, but these things should be. You might think of the fruit of the Spirit. If you look at that text in Galatians 5, immediately before the fruit of the Spirit, you have a big laundry list of sin that shouldn't be a part of a believer's life. Now, as we approach our text today, it is also important to make this observation. All of this is only possible through the truth found in Jesus Christ and through the Spirit of truth, the Holy Spirit. Now, as we look at this, I want us to first of all look at these verbs. I'm specifically thinking now in looking at verses 22 and through 24, and there are some specific verbs here that I believe we need to understand. There is put off, there is be renewed, and there is put on. Now, first of all, I want you to notice the order of these verbs. And I know you didn't come from a grammar lesson, but as you study the Word of God, you need to understand grammar. It's important. The order in which things are put means something. Here we have put off, we have be renewed, and we have put on. And I believe they are in that order for a specific reason. I thought about doing a visual illustration today and coming in with a very nasty outfit. I mean, I thought about rubbing a shirt in our compost pile. You know, and I thought of wearing that. And that, of course, would illustrate what? The old man, okay? The old man. Now, what I would do in the illustration, just to emphasize the importance of this verbiage, would be I would then take out a nice, pressed, clean shirt. And what I would do is I would illustrate for you is I would take that nice, clean shirt and I'd just put it right on over top. What is that accomplishing? Oh, I might look good, but I sure smell bad. You know what? That's not to be the case of a church. It's not about how we look, because boy, can we do a good job at that, can't we? We really can. Admit it. We can look good. We really can. But the reality, and we know that God looks at the heart, how are we smelling? So the right way of doing that illustration would be, say, I come in with, I got the old man, I'm stinky, I'm dirty. The illustration would be, I take it off. The verb here, put off, means to establish something apart from you. In other words, distance yourself from it. And so I would take that off. And what that would be showing is the importance of holiness. The demand that we not compromise, but that we draw a line in the sand, that we establish a distance from those things. And then there's this verb, be renewed. Be renewed. This is actually a present tense, passive voice verb. What does that mean? Present tense in the Greek means it is something that is happening now and usually has the connotation of continually happening. Passive voice means the action is being done upon the subject. And so this renewing is being done upon the believers putting off the old man. And that renewing is done through the truth, through the Spirit of truth, God's Spirit, the Holy Spirit. Now the put on would come as I put that nice new shirt on I put off the old and I put on the new. and the stinky, the dirt is off, and I have new clothes, and I have been made new. Now, that illustration is faulty in that it misses the point of the renewing part. Because we're not dealing with clothes physically here. We're dealing with the mind and with our actions and our attitudes. So notice the putting off, that comes first because that's necessary. You can't walk around as a believer carrying dirty clothes. If you're here today and God is pointing in your heart and saying, that's got to go, then you know what? It's got to go. I'm not going to stand up here and point my finger at different people and say, this, because I don't know. Because I got things too. But the Spirit of God's pretty good at that, you know? And the Spirit of God's going to point his finger at you and me, and he's going to say, that's got to go, that's got to go. Put off, put off. Put off. Now, the putting off shows the demand for holiness and not for compromise. The be renewed shows our everyday need for God and the hope that's found in him. And the putting on shows the demand for righteousness. We are to be a people of righteousness. Remember, the calling is that we're the body of Christ, we're to look like Christ, we represent Christ to the world. So in order to do that, we have got to live righteously. So remember, don't miss the goal, Christ-likeness. All right, so a little bit more on those verbs. The putting off, as I've already said, is to set or establish from oneself. In other words, it's distancing. We see this happening in our media. Okay? Politics. Does that ring a bell? One guy, one senator will say something. And next thing you know, he's polarized. And everybody from his party distances themselves. They put a separation between him and his comments and them. That's the picture that we're getting here. We are to establish from ourselves those things of the old man. We realize that from this, we do still deal with the sin nature. Okay? There's still a battle that should be raging in your heart. If there's not a battle raging in your heart against the sinful nature, then there's a problem. Okay? If there is not a battle raging in your heart against sin, then you need to check whether you truly are a believer of Jesus Christ. That's just a warning to you. All right? So keep that in mind. But put off is you establish the distance. The putting on is the idea of clothing yourself. It's actually used in the New Testament where people would put clothes on. It's, if you want to go literal with it, it's to sink into. It's the idea of sinking into and clothing yourself with these things. So I'm giving you these definitions so that as we look more closely at the text, I trust that it will come alive for you. Now let's look at the scriptures again. Ephesians chapter 4, now verses 17 through 19 is giving us a description of the old man, of the way of the Gentile, the walk of those that know not Christ. Now, let me give you a description of that kind of life, because the scripture says put off the old man. So what are we supposed to put off? What does that look like? Listen to this description. All right. The description goes like this. Look at verse 17. It is a manner of life displaying depravity and perverseness in the mind. Now, the reason I'm going through this is because if your heart is pricked and you say, that is me, then this is a sign. This is an area of old man. This is old stuff that's got to go in your life. Is there a perverseness, a depravity in your mind? In verse 17, we see that the Gentiles walk in the vanity of their mind. Not only is the old man depravity and perverseness in the mind, but it is a manner of life where there's unbridled lust, there's no shame in works of impurity, and a desire to want more of the same. Listen, do you have something that just continually pulls at you, and your passions are excited, and you continually run after that, whether it be behind closed doors or whether it be wide open? You are running with unbridled lust. There's no control, and you just run after those things, and you just want more and more and more. That is a sign of the way of the old man. That is the sign, that is a living like an unbeliever. And that is not to be present in the church, in your life, my life. No. We are to not be controlled by our feelings and passions. The old man is also a manner of life that is controlled by passions. Listen, this is very careful. Listen, controlled by passions that are fueled by lies and deceit. And I remember several years ago when I first came to realize this truth, and it has made a very big difference in my walk. Look at verse 22. That you put off concerning the former conversation the old man, and here's the phrase, which is corrupt according to the deceitful lusts. In the Greek, it would say it this way, that is corrupt according to the lusts of deceitfulness. Lusts is another word for unbridled passions, for passions and desires. And these passions and desires are founded on lies and deceit. And so much of this world, its message is lies. Its message is that of deceit. Let me see if I can give you a couple just to whet your, to get you to pay attention to this. I'll give you a personal illustration. Just this week, I had a family member that was given an incredible deal on a Mercedes-Benz. It was an 01, had 46,000 miles on it, and this individual paid $7,500 for it. An older lady had kept it in the garage, her husband had died. She was wanting to bless somebody and happened to bless one of my family members. Why not me? That's where I went. That kind of belief is based on a lie, because our culture gives us commercials that say you want this kind of vehicle because this is what makes you a man. This is what gives you the comfort. It's about the car. And so therefore, see how easy it is? Our passions, we'll just run with it. And I could sit back and I could say, it would have been nice that I could have had that car. How ridiculous. It's just based on a lie. But so much of our culture throws these lies at us, and the church is believing them. And the church is going along with it. It should not be. To be a good parent, you got to give your kids whatever they want. Okay, just a disclaimer, that's not true. Isn't that what we're hearing? That is, isn't it? You give your kids whatever you want. If you're not, you're depriving your child. And Christians go along with that. And they're just feeding and spoiling children. And children need, just the Word of God tells us how to parent, folks. We don't need the media and the commercials and the doctors out there that don't know Christ to tell us how to parent our children when the Word of God is right here and it tells us. The old man is based on passions and desires that are fed by lies. So let's get practical, okay? As you deal with life, as you walk through life, I want you to ask this question, is it a lie? Is what I am doing, is what I'm believing, what I'm based upon, is it based on a lie? You've got to become discerning in this matter. If you don't become discerning, you're going to walk in them. It's just going to be automatic because it's the way of the world. It's easy and it just flows. I mean, I just gave you an easy illustration just with that little car thing in my own heart, and I had to deal with that. It's just a simple, just boom, and we can believe a lie. And we can run with that. And if I would have just run with that, I would have been beginning to covet and desire, and it would have been a whole distraction and sin. All because this one little lie says, you want the nice car. Ridiculous. It's a lie. And there's so much out there that is based on lies. And, you know, we don't have time to go through all of them. Well, I couldn't. I don't know all of them. I don't. But the Word of God solves the problem for us, just realizing, telling us that the old man, it's corrupt, it's based on the lusts of deceitfulness. Okay? So you've got to get a handle on this, church. We have to live discerningly, if that's a word. We have to live with a sharp mind asking these kinds of questions. Is it based on a lie? How do you know if it's based on a lie? You need to know the truth. You've got to know the truth. Look at verses 20 and 21. But you have not so learned Christ, if so be you've heard him and have been taught by him as the what? As the truth is in Jesus. The truth. Now, before we go further, let's join Pilate and his question. What was his question to Jesus? What is truth? What is truth? Pilate asked that question of the Lord Jesus in the day of his trial. And the best definition I could come up with is Jesus. Jesus Christ and the good news related to him. Let me give you a couple passages that revolve around this. Ephesians 1:13, just a couple chapters ahead. Look at that. In whom you also trusted, in whom Christ you also trusted. After that you heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation, in whom also after that you believed, you were sealed with that Holy Spirit of promise. John 1:17, for the law was given by Moses, but grace and truth came by Jesus Christ. John 14:6, say it if you know it. Jesus saith unto him, I am the way, the truth, the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. And 1 John chapter 5, verse 20, and we know that the Son of God is come and hath given us understanding that we may know him that is true. And we are in him that is true, even in his Son, Jesus Christ. This is the true God and eternal life. As we talk about truth, it would be remiss of me to not mention the Spirit is known as the Spirit of Truth. John 14:17, John 15:26, John 16:13 and 14, if you're writing these verses down, talks about the Spirit of Truth. John 16:13 says, howbeit when he, the Spirit of Truth, is come, he will guide you unto all truth. For he shall not speak of himself, but whatsoever he shall hear, that shall he speak. And he will show you things to come. He shall glorify me, for he shall receive of mine and shall show it unto you. What is truth? Truth is Jesus Christ and all good news that's related to him. Truth. All right, so back in Ephesians chapter 4, that you put off concerning the, I'm looking at verse 22, you put off concerning the former conversation or former way of life, the old man. In other words, he's calling it old man just to really emphasize this is what is to be in the past. This is who you once were, which is corrupt according to the deceitful lusts, and be renewed in the spirit of your mind. I read of one illustration for this passage, and I thought it was very apt. As we talk about this idea of renewing, literally that would be to bring into the realm of the new, to make new. And remember, it's this passive, so this is something that is done upon the believer. His mind is made new. And this is so key, because notice it doesn't say his life is made new. It's his mind, the spirit of your mind, the very center and core of your being, where your worldview, where your attitudes are designed. This renewing takes place at the core of who you are. And this is the key that makes this exchange possible. The putting off and the putting on, the key is the renewing. The illustration is your washing machine. If you have the washing machines that are the holes on the top loader or whatever you call them, usually you have in the middle this thing that comes up that's got all these twirly things around it. You love my descriptions, right? It's called a what? An agitator. I did know that. Agitator. Now, what's the agitator do? Thank you. Agitates. All right, you put what kind of clothes in? And you get what kind of clothes out? You guys work with me here. Come on. You're supposed to get clean clothes out. Now, what happens in between? A lot of agitation. A lot happens there that is causing the clothes to be rubbed against and to feel the friction and the rubbing so that the dirt is expelled and the clean is brought out. You know, that's the work of the Spirit of God in our lives. Even right now, as you may be convicted in your heart about sin or something that, you know what, I got to put that off. That's of the old man. You know what, that's a Spirit of God in your life right now going like this. That's the work of the Spirit. He convicts. And if you don't ever experience that, again, that's a warning. Maybe the Spirit isn't living within you. Maybe it's time to check. Have I trusted Christ as my Savior? Am I regenerated? The work of the Spirit, the renewing in the spirit of your mind, is the key that brings us to the putting on. And what are we putting on? We're putting on the new man. We love new things, right? Sure we do. Putting on the new man, which after God is created in righteousness and true holiness. Notice the comparison here between the old man and the new man. If you look at verse 22, end of the verse, corrupt according to the deceitful lusts, or the lusts of deceitfulness. Okay? Put your finger there. Now go down to verse 24, which after God is created in righteousness and true holiness. Is there a contrast there or what? If you want to look literally there at the last verse, verse 24, it would be created in righteousness and holiness of the truth. The emphasis there would be the truth. Truth compared to what? deceitfulness. And the truth is described with what two terms? Righteousness and holiness. Righteousness and holiness. Now, those two terms pack a lot of weight. What's righteousness? Righteousness is meeting God's standard, meeting God's expectation. Righteousness speaks of character. Righteousness is that quality that gives truth the fact that it meets everything that God expects. Holiness brings in the matter of separation. It is set apart. Not only can we count on God's truth to be righteous and meet his expectations, but we also can count on it to be separate, holy, set apart. It is by itself no equals. Holiness. It's pure and undefiled truth. So what do you want to live by? What are you living by? What am I living by? Are we living by the deceitful lust, the lust of deceitfulness? Or are we living by the righteousness and holiness of the truth? I dare say my heart cries out, I want to live by the truth. I want to live in a way that meets God's standard. I want to live a holy life. And we know the scriptures call that out for us. Put off, put on, be renewed. You know, we're going to be studying the rest of chapter 4, and Apostle Paul is kind enough to give us some specific illustrations. And down through there, we have 11 different commands for us as believers. 11 different instructions, either putting off this or putting on that. You're to be doing this or not doing that. 11 different commands. You know what? We're going to go over them. And today is background, and today is preparation, and today is the day that you need to decide how you want to live. And I dare say, if you do not have a desire to put off the old man, then you need to check. Have I the Spirit of God within? Have I been regenerated? Am I a child of the Lord Jesus Christ? All that we have studied up through to this point in the book of Ephesians, talking about the incredible blessings of God and knowing him in Christ, are they true in your life? As we close, I want to give us these important ways of thinking. And this has to do with the renewed mind, because obviously that's the key. So here I want to give you five statements that I trust will be of help to you as you seek to have a renewed mind, as you seek to allow God's Spirit to be changing your life. And these are found in different scriptures throughout the New Testament, but I'll start with, there's two in the book of Ephesians. Turn to Ephesians chapter 1. A renewed mind, first of all, looks into the wonder of God, not self. As you seek to walk in the new man and put off the new, or old, put off the old, walk in the new, here's something you can do with your mind. Look into the wonder of God. Put aside yourself. Look into God. Ephesians 1, 17. That the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give unto you the spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of him. That the eyes of your understanding being enlightened, that you may know what is the hope of his calling and what the riches of the glory of his inheritance in the saints, and what is the exceeding greatness of his power to usward who believe according to the working of his mighty power. Get to know God. Have a mind that's looking in awe, the wonder, the greatness of God. That's a renewed mind. A renewed mind is also one that looks to know the love of Christ. Ephesians chapter 3, verses 18 and 19 says, "May that you may be able to comprehend with all saints what is the breadth and length and depth and height, and to know the love of Christ which passes knowledge, that you might be filled with all the fullness of God." Dear ones, look to know the love of Christ. Look into it. Seek to know it. That's a mind that's being renewed. Thirdly, a renewed mind looks upon the eternal, not the temporal. You know, a big warning is if you're all caught up in the things of this world, you better look and examine your heart. A renewed mind looks into the things of that are eternal, not temporal. 2 Corinthians chapter 4, I'll just read this so you can listen. Verses 16 through 18, "For which cause we faint not, but though our outward man perish, yet the inward man is renewed day by day. For our light affliction, which is but for a moment, worketh for us a far more exceeding and eternal weight of glory. While we look not at the things which are seen, but at the things which are not seen. For the things which are seen are temporal, but the things which are not seen are eternal." Are you looking at the things that are eternal? Fourthly, look up to the things of Christ, not out the things of the earth. Colossians chapter 3, "If you then be risen with Christ, seek those things which are above, where Christ sits on the right hand of God. Set your affection on things above, not on things on the earth." That's a renewed mind. Fifthly, from the book of Philippians chapter 2, look to serve others like Jesus did. You know, in that passage, he said, Apostle Paul writes this, "Fulfill ye my joy that you be like-minded, having the same love, being of one accord, of one mind. Let nothing be done through strife or vainglory, but in lowliness of mind let each esteem other better than themselves. Look not every man on his own things, but every man also on the things of others. Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus." Look to serve others like Jesus did. Church, you know, we've been called to look like Jesus. And we have no excuse, because God's given us the prescription right here. He's told us, put it off, the old man. Be renewed in your mind and put on the new. The comparison, are you going to live by the lusts of deceitfulness, or are you going to live by the righteousness and holiness of the truth? "I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. And be not conformed," take not the shape of the world, "but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good an acceptable and perfect will of God." Oh Lord Jesus, the call is clear. And Lord, the message has gone forth. God, I pray that you would be gracious unto your people and merciful. And I pray that if there is those here today that know not you, that they don't understand the renewing of your spirit, I pray that today would be the day that they come to grips with how much you've loved them, that you are a God of wrath against sin, and that sin will be judged. But God, you sent your Son, your only Son, to pay the penalty for us. And God, I pray for us as believers here today that, God, you've pricked our hearts. You've pointed things in our lives that have got to be put off. Maybe lies that are being believed. Lord, renew our minds. Make us as a church, make us as individuals, accurate representations of you, Jesus. God, we need you, and we ask for you to work. In Jesus' name, amen.